In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is, over the next several weeks in our epistle and our gospel, an ongoing reflection on the relationship between the virtue of love and the virtue of humility. Love is foundational to the Christian dispensation. To truly understand what we are about, what it is into which we have been called, requires an ongoing meditation on the reality of love. So significant was this that Benedict XVI, almost 20 years ago now, at the beginning of his pontificate, his first encyclical, his first address as the Supreme Pontiff was on the nature of Christian love. He quotes from St. John's first letter, reminding us that God indeed is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The Holy Father wrote that these words express with remarkable clarity the heart of the Christian faith. St. John then goes on to say, we have come to know and to believe in the love of God for us. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. The Holy Father then goes on to reflect that these words, in a very simple way, express the fundamental decision and the direction of the Christian life. To say that I understand and believe in God's love, to say that I want to then return that love, to allow that love to become foundational to who I am, expresses, as the Holy Father himself says, not a lofty idea or concept, but the very heart of relationship itself. To speak of love involves someone, us, in relationship with another. To say, I love you, or to recognize that we are loved by God, is to enter into a relationship with God. This is a conscious choice, day after day, moment after moment, to work at this relationship that is fundamental to who we are, and the existences that we strive to make manifest. As St. John himself says, this is our horizon, this is our destiny. We know where we are now, and we know to that which we are called. It begins and ends in the love that Christ has for us, that incarnate love that makes manifest the love of our Heavenly Father. And the gift of the Holy Spirit continue to be poured out in our lives so that we can respond in love first to God, then to one another. The Holy Father concludes these opening reflections, and these powerful words come within the first three paragraphs of this wonderful document. He says, love now is no longer a mere command. It is rather the response to the gift of love which God draws near to us. We're no longer simply doing something out of obedience, although obedience can be a good motivator. But it must go beyond just simply the command to do so, but rather recognizing the relationship that we are called. Of course, accepting God's love is a difficult task because there are implications from accepting this love. Letting the love of God be our motivation in relationship with him means we have to move beyond fear, beyond recrimination, beyond condemnation, and move to this desire to truly enter into the one who makes sense of my very existence. St. John Paul himself had said that the whole human person can only understand himself in reference to Christ. And at the heart of a relationship with Christ is this reality of love itself. As a consequence, the first movement of everyone who professes faith in our Lord is to love him. To love him simply and completely and totally. And to recognize that the clearest manifestation of love is not merely the desire in my heart, but the mystery of the cross. Everything about what our Lord accomplishes led him to sacrificing himself on the cross so that I might understand the true depth and nature of his love for me. He requires then that I do the exact same thing. We are going to love as we have been loved, and we want to concretize that. That means we must love by willingly sacrificing ourselves. God gives us this love in mercy and compassion for us and allows us to then return it to him and then return it to one another. And that always is the movement, contrary to maybe what some scripture scholars will intimate, that these are opposite sides of the same coin, the command to love God and to love one another. But the exhortation first is to love God, because only then can I truly understand what it means for me to love my neighbor and what is required of me in loving my neighbor. Of course, the world in which we live tells us something very different. The world tells us that love is about license. If you truly love me, you will allow me to do whatever it is that I want. The heart wants what the heart wants is a reference to the license that the world has today, allowing people to do what they want, when they want, how they want, with whomever they want. We have been in this confused state, and we live in this confused world. It simply will not allow us to love as we know we ought to love. But we do have a choice. We're not merely at the whim of our emotions or our inordinate desires. We have an ability to choose God above all things, that movement of faith that is rooted in the confident hope that allows us then to make manifest this love. We are required, of course, to love our neighbor, but what is the greatest manifestation of love than to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor by preaching them the truth, by picking up the cross of recrimination and repudiation and condemnation by the world in order to live this life of love, to be rejected by family and friends because I am loving them completely and totally. This is not an easy task. It has never been an easy task. It will not be an easy task. And if we approach this mystery of love as something merely to make me feel good, make me feel better about myself and my place in the world, then we will find ourselves failing over and over and over again. But what does the virtue of humility do? It primes us to be easily moved by the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can love as I have been loved. I don't rely upon myself, my own desires, my own wants, my own needs. Instead, I throw myself upon the Lord, and therein I find my strength. And when I trust in the Lord and I embrace the crosses that he asks me to embrace, realizing that I do this out of love, I'm giving to God that which he has given to me, the best of myself. The only thing about myself truly of any value or worth is to return in love that love that has been bestowed upon me. And so pay heed, brothers and sisters, of what it is that you do, and just as significantly, what it is that you say. When you say to your loved ones, I love you, you're committing yourself to a life beyond your own wants and needs. You desire the good of the other more than you desire your own good. You want what is best for the other more than you want for yourself. There is something counterintuitive about this, and certainly seemingly un-American about it, but it is at the very heart of the Christian dispensation. And all of this because it is the fundamental direction of who we are and our very existences. In truth, you have no other choice but to live and embrace this life of love, most especially in those times of difficulty and sacrifice. The service to which you have been called by picking up your crosses and following after our Lord. Let us pay heed to what it is that we are exhorted to do, but more importantly, the living God whom we are about to receive. Because by the act of receiving the living God himself, we make manifest to God and to the whole world our commitment to put into practice that which he has given to us. The mystery of the cross, celebrated in sacrifice, the gift of new life received in holy communion with God. Let us give thanks that we have first been loved and then desire to return that love in kind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.